Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
This morning, guys, I want to talk to you about disappointment. Life is full of disappointments. Maybe you've experienced a relationship breakdown. Maybe the bank said no to your dream home. If you're a Crow supporter right now, we're feeling your disappointment. Maybe you've been overlooked for a promotion. People have disappointed you. Hey, listen, what about this one? Some of us right now are feeling disappointed in ourselves about some of the things that we've chosen to do, or should I say, maybe not chosen to do. And disappointment is a part of life. You know, there is a good chance the person sitting beside you right now is feeling disappointed about something. Let's hope and pray that it's not because they're sitting beside you, that that's their nature of disappointment. They were hoping to sit next to that young lady and then you sat next to them. They were hoping. But isn't it true, if we were very honest, right now there is something maybe going on in our world that we're slightly disappointed about, maybe hugely disappointed. I want to unpack this because I think the way we see disappointment, sometimes we either underrate it or we can overrate it. In the sense that I think sometimes we always see disappointment as a negative thing. I want to tell you something about disappointment right from the outset. Disappointment is a sign that you're alive and well. Because you're only disappointed when you're very passionate about something. You're only disappointed because you feel like you were hoping for something and it didn't go the way that you were hoping. Actually, the stronger your commitment and love of something, when it doesn't go that way, the stronger the disappointment. It means you're alive and well. And if you don't have a lot of love for something, then you're not hugely disappointed. Just recently, a huge ice shelf disconnected from the Antarctica. This thing has the ability to actually cause water levels to rise right across the earth. And there it is there. They say it's the size of Tasmania or something, even bigger. It's huge. Was anyone disappointed? No, not really. Most people aren't disappointed about that. Some of you didn't even know what happened. And you still don't care that it's happened. Why is he even talking about it? For me, on the, I get the privilege of traveling a lot, and I do get a bit of motion sickness. And just recently, I discovered that the Airbus company, who make the A380, have just recently decided to not build that plane any longer. I'm disappointed. You don't care, but you should care because you love me. I am hugely disappointed that they're not building that aircraft anymore. But if you don't really travel much, then you don't really care because, so you're not disappointed because you're not in love with it. But I think what is funny in our nation, everyone rose up recently and they were hugely disappointed when they changed the recipe for this thing. Yeah, oh yeah, everyone, petitions. If there was a riot in streets, change it back to the original flavor. Does anyone like the new flavour? No one, because we're all disappointed. Martin Luther King said this. He said, there can be no deep disappointment where there is no deep love. You only get disappointed because you're actually really in love with something, like those shapes. Do you know, disappointment comes when we plant a tree of hope, a tree of a dream that we are believing for. And then what we do is we have a hope, we have a dream, and then we expect that dream to come to pass. And we call that the fruit of the tree. And Jesus spoke about this one day in Luke 13:6. He says, a man planted a fig tree. What are you hoping to get from a fig tree one day? Yeah, figs. Yeah, someone said oranges. Okay. Moving right along. You're going to be hugely disappointed. If you are planting fig trees and expecting what you are going to be, let me just say that for you. That's just for you. Jesus told a story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and he came out, how often? Again and again, to see if there was any fruit on it. And what happened? But he was always disappointed. Why? Because he was expecting something. You only get disappointed because you're expecting something. Next verse says, finally, he says to his gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. This person who planted the seed says to the gardener, cut it down. I'm not getting the fruit I want. Do you know, in the story, we can be that person who planted the seed. And the Bible tells us that God is the gardener. And sometimes we can find ourselves saying to God, you know what? I've been trying to do whatever it is that you're believing for, whatever it is that you're hoping your life looks like. You've been going around that tree for a long time. And you know, sometimes you can find yourself in your heart saying to God, God, just, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm so disappointed. I'm just going to get rid of the dream. That's what disappointment has the power to do, friend, to make you give up on your dream. And so the gardener speaks up. I love the fact that the gardener didn't say, sure. That's not what the gardener did. The gardener says, sir, and I would say to you today, sir, madam, come on, let's just give it one more chance. Leave it alone another year and I'll give it special attention, he says, and plenty of fertilizer. That's a nice way of saying manure. And sometimes when we go to God and we say, God, I don't feel like I'm living my dream yet. God says, okay, I'll sort it out for you. I'll throw manure on your dream. Wow. Friends, manure is called disappointment. Wow. And we think disappointments are taking us away from our dream. Disappointments are taking you to your dream. They're taking you there. Really? Gee, thanks God. No, because Jesus unpacks the same illustration when he talks about another guy who planted a tree. And Jesus in John 15 tells us what God does, who is the gardener, when we want to bear fruit. Have a read of it. Jesus says, I am the true grapevine. This is John 15. And my Father is the who? He's the gardener. And God, it says, cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't bear fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. When we say, God, I really want to live my dream, the first thing God wants to do is start cutting some stuff out of our lives. And sometimes the things that we are so hugely disappointed about, God says, why are you disappointed? I cut that relationship out of your life. I cut that toxic person out of your life. And while we're grieving and getting upset with God, God says, no, I'm trying to help you fulfill your dream. I'm trying to help you. Oh, but I've lost employees. I'm so discouraged. And God says, I understand you're disappointed, but how many of us have been disappointed when we lost somebody and then when the next person came in, we went, wow, I didn't even know that there could be people like you. Wow. Sometimes we settle and God says, listen, you can hold on to that branch, but if I cut it back, a better branch comes out. A bigger branch comes out so that you can bear more fruit. Hey friends, if people have left you, you didn't need them anyway. We've got to stop grieving over people that have left us. Because God says, you know what? They're awesome people. They just need to get on with their life, but you need to get on with your life. God's got a plan and a purpose for your life as well. And God's going to cut back the branches that aren't bearing fruit. The dead ones he cuts off. And then there are even some branches in your life that are bearing some fruit. And God says, yeah, still not good enough. I'm going to cut that off as well. Why? So that you can bear much fruit. Is this okay? Come on, some of us have lost friends for no reason at all. We don't even know why we lost them. But today we're going, yeah, now that I think back to where I was with that, you know, some friendships are built on negativity. Some friendships are built on the fact that two negative things happened in your life and in their life, and you can't seem to break out of that cycle. That's all you seem to talk about now is the negativity of how that relationship broke down, how that business didn't work. And God's trying to lift you up now and connect you to people who are going forward, but we're surrounded by people that are going backwards. When God cuts things out of your life, we've got to understand, although we are disappointed, God's getting you closer toward your dream. Amen? He's committed to our dream. I love this. Some of us think, really, why would you preach a message on disappointment? It's just such a harmless thing. You know, we're just disappointed. Well, it can be just a harmless thing. But the reality is, disappointment always leads to something else. I want to show you what it does. See, if you look at it, this arrow tip here. The arrow tip is disappointment. The very tip of the arrow is disappointment. But if you don't deal with disappointment properly, it leads to being discouraged, friends. And once you're discouraged, you start to become disillusioned about whatever it was that disappointed you. Now you start to become disillusioned about the whole organization, the whole thing about marriage, the whole thing about... Now you start to... it goes deeper. And then if we don't deal with that, then you become depressed because you don't even know what life's for anymore. And then the last thing that happens is you feel absolutely defeated. Why is dealing with disappointment important? Because it's the tip of the arrow. Let's deal with disappointment in the appropriate way. Let's see it for what it is. Let's see how God can use it and how it can destroy us if we don't do the right thing with it. Are you hearing this? It's important, friends. I don't want anyone to be defeated. I don't want anyone to be oppressed. I don't want anyone to feel like their life is not going forward. And I'm noticing a lot of people are taking a photo of that. You should do that. You should do that. Because disappointment can lead to absolute defeat. But there is a process to that defeat. You know, Jesus put it this way. Maybe you've never seen this before. It's only something I've seen just recently. In Luke 4:18, Jesus tells us why he has come to earth. Let's read this. It says, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." What has he come to do? "To preach the gospel to the," everyone say, "poor." Poor. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind." I want you to see something here. Watch this. He's come to preach the gospel to the poor. What does that mean? I'm not poor. Yeah, you're poor when you think, "I wish I had this, but I don't. I wish I had that relationship in my life." Yeah, but I don't. "I wish I could drive that car, but I don't have it. I wish I could have that promotion." Do you know, when you are constantly thinking that you don't have something, you're poor. Wow. But wow. Jesus says, "Hey, listen, that's okay, because I've come to tell you something. If you don't deal with that attitude of I don't have, the next thing that comes to you is you feel brokenhearted." That's the very next thing that comes. And if you don't deal with being brokenhearted, you end up becoming a captive. And if you don't deal with being a captive, all of a sudden you're blind. You can't see anymore. You're blinded. It's like, have you ever met people like that? It's like, they just can't seem to see that there's a way out of this. They just think, "Oh, it's just never going to work. I just can't see how it's ever going to happen." And ultimately, what does it lead to? He's come to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Hey, listen, disappointment leads all the way through to oppression. If we don't handle it properly. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Satan's got a strategy, guys. And the strategy is, don't worry about the tip of disappointment. It's just life. It's not just life. Deal with it. I need to deal with it. Hey, listen, I'm preaching a message about disappointment. Today, I have felt disappointed about some things. Today. Disappointment isn't one big major event that happened in 1993. Disappointment can happen today because you didn't get the car park you wanted. I'm serious. And if you don't deal with that, then all of a sudden you get a little bit discouraged. And, "Oh man, it's hard to get a car park around here." Then the next thing is you become disillusioned. Why don't they have more car parks? What's going on? I need a special car park out there with my name on it. Leads all the way through to defeat. What's defeat? You know, it's just too hard to get to church. Started because of a little bit of disappointment. Wow. Do you know, last week I preached the message about living your dream. And this is the whole reason I'm preaching this today. Last week I preached the message about live out your dream. What I was expecting from people was, "Come on, Pastor Rich, high five. What a great word that is. That's amazing. You're the best preacher on earth that I've ever heard in my entire..." Okay, I'm exaggerating. But I was expecting a little bit of, "Wow, thank you." People got upset. Not with me, with the message. "Well, I did have a dream. I did. You know, I was married and I thought it was going to work out fine, but I got divorced. Well, good luck with where's my dream, Pastor Rich?" And they were genuinely upset. They couldn't hear the plan that God had for them. They couldn't hear it because of how discouraged they were and how disappointed they were. Are you hearing what... But you know what, this shouldn't surprise us, because when Moses tried to tell the children of Israel, "Hey, listen, God wants to take you out of slavery," how many of you think that that should have been a great day? That should have been a day of, "Woo! We're getting delivered!" Exodus 6:9, it says, "So Moses told the people of Israel what the Lord had said, but they refused to listen anymore. They had become too discouraged." by the brutality of life. If you don't deal with disappointment, friends, when people try and encourage you, you just don't believe it. Oh, that's good for her. I'm sure God will do that for her, but he won't do it for me. You're defeated. And today we get the chance to undo that. Today we get a chance to not live a life where we can't even hear the plans that God has for us. So what are you saying, Pastor Rich? We should never be disappointed, just sort of float through life and woohoo, oh, I had a car accident. Yay, great, fantastic. I lost my job. Wow, thank you, God. Is that what I mean? No, mourn. But be careful that your mourning doesn't take you into unbelief. See, the disciples were mourning that Jesus didn't set up an earthly kingdom. They were expecting Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom. And what does he go and do? He dies on a cross. They begin to mourn. Listen, they're mourning so much that when the women came to tell the disciples, hey, guess what? We just saw Jesus. He's risen from the dead. They're like, nah, don't believe it. Nah. What caused them to not believe? Discouragement. Disappointment. So come on, today we need to go on a journey today of really dealing with this thing called disappointment. Let me give you just a couple of tips here. Number one, have an honest conversation with God. It's okay to tell God, I am hugely disappointed. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've got there's two sides to me. There's the Christian me, and he's really Christian. And then there's me. And the other side of me, sometimes I hate people. Wow. Sorry, you don't ever do that. Okay, I get it. Now, sometimes I have negative thoughts about people and all that, right? But you know what I do? I'm really smart. I hide those thoughts from God. God doesn't know I think those thoughts. And then once in a while, I'm serious, this is how I used to live. So I've got all this junk going on over here, disappointment, I'm angry at God, man, I want to shake my fist at him, right? And then what I do is I go, okay, switch over. And then the Christian Richard talks to God, oh, Father, the one who created the stars. Meanwhile, the other guy's swearing his head off. Not really. Do you know what I discovered? God says, I don't want to talk to the Christian guy, I want to talk to the real guy. Just be honest. Just be honest. God, I'm so disappointed with the way things are working out. I really am. And why is that important? Because this is what God says about himself. Psalm 34:18. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Do you have a crushed spirit here today? God says, awesome. Now I can get close to you. Do you know the time... I was 20 years old, and I cannot think of a time that I was more closer and literally felt the love of God than when I was going out with a girl and I discovered that she had cheated on me. And the brokenness of my heart, the crushed spirit, because I thought I was doing all the right things, and she crushed my spirit. But I'm telling you now, I have never felt the love of God so strong, tangible. To this day, I'm going to be honest with you, to this day. Why? Because the Bible says that God comes close to the person with the broken spirit. It's okay to have a broken spirit. What it actually does is it draws God right into your story. It draws him right beside you. God doesn't shun it and go, get away from me. He says, come, I'm going to get right beside you. So why wouldn't we tell him how we feel? Hey, listen, don't just stop at telling God. Why don't we tell others too? Do you know, that's why I'm desperate for everybody to get into a life group. Desperate. Why? Because we've all got disappointments going on, and you can either keep it to yourself and get all frustrated, or why don't you tell a group of people in a house, that's what a life group is, in a house, just tell some people how you feel. Tell them how you feel. And this is so important. You know, just excuse me for a moment while I shoot over here. I use this illustration. How do I get to, it's like you're an animal over there and I can't even get to you. It's like a caged... Got him. Oh. See, I'm so disappointed. Can someone get that out for me, please, whoever you are? Hey, listen. Oh, here we go. Go, Mark. Are you disappointed that you didn't get there first? Everyone's disappointed. Well, okay. Thank you, Marky. You're a champion, mate. You're a legend. It's a very bad illustration, but it works for now. You know, I was talking about that arrow before. And listen, some of us are in this room and we're thinking, you know what, I'm hearing what he's saying, but you know what, I'm just going to keep it a secret. But you know, in the spiritual realm, when the angels look at you and God sees you, he sees you like that. There's an arrow in your heart. And you're walking around going, yeah, hey, how you going? Had a good day today? Yeah, it's awesome. Some of you are like, hey, how you been, bro? Awesome. Yeah, no, I've had a great day today. Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's great. And you know what? And if it was just left in the spiritual realm, it wouldn't be a problem. The problem is, come up here, Daniel, for a minute. Quick, get up here. The problem is we can actually see it in the physical realm. Not literally. I can't literally see it, but I can see it in the way you speak. I can see it in the way you act. And you know what? If you're a guy and you're trying to get close to a girl, can you just be a girl for a moment? Sure. You know, if you're a guy and you're hugely disappointed because something happened in your past and you've got that arrow in there, it's very difficult to get close to someone. Wow. And then some of you are wondering, we just can't seem to get close together. Hun, give me a hug. Hun, give me a hug. Right? Very, very difficult, right? But the thing is, it's like this, right? If I'm just disappointed, remember, disappointment is the tip, right? Remember that? So I've got the tip in here. If it goes any further, though, I end up into discouragement. And do you know if you've got an arrow in you, and if that arrow ends up going further than the tip, you can't get it out anymore. If I actually get this at disappointment, I can just go to life group and just go, hey, bro, you know what? I've got some disappointments going on. Can you grab my arrow? And blah, 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 blah. Can you pull it out? Wow. Feel awesome. This is great. This is great. But you know, if it's gone through you, now it's really serious. Now it's really, really serious. Now doctors will say, don't try and pull it out. You've got to get real help. And that's okay. Still not a lost cause, but why wouldn't you just pull that out of disappointment? Hey, why wouldn't we just pull that out? Come on, give this guy a huge round of applause. Thank you. So, you know, guys, for a lot of us, we watch people, and we watch people who in some cases they do not follow any biblical principles, but we see them win in life, don't we? We see them win. And because we see them win, we go, you know what? Well, that guy doesn't seem to pray, and that guy doesn't seem to be generous. And if anything, he's a real shark, and he seems to be buying houses and buying cars. And if we're not careful, we can find our hearts starting to envy what they're doing. And the Bible says if we're not careful, we can actually end up going off track. And well, let's have a read of it. Proverbs 23:17, because I know many of you are taking notes. It says, don't envy sinners, but always continue to fear the Lord. Listen to this part. You will be rewarded for this. Your hope will not be disappointed. And then he's like pleading with us. He says, my child, listen, and be wise. Keep your heart on the right course. Come on, keep your heart on the right course, friends. Keep your heart on the right course. Keep your heart on the right course. Do you know, I tried to look up the word disappointed in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament. I tried to find it. Do you know, there's no word for disappointment in the Old Testament. Can't find it. It didn't exist. It doesn't exist. Because if you want to find out what a word's root word is, you've got to get rid of the prefix, get rid of the suffix. So in this case, it's disappointment. So dis is the prefix. Ment is the suffix. So the word is appoint. Do you know you can find the word appoint in the Old Testament? You can't find the word disappoint. Because a Hebrew mind sees it like this. When God says you're appointed to something, when God says you're appointed to win, you can't disappoint that. You can't change that. That it just didn't make sense to them that you could somehow ruin the will of God for your life. They just, no. God's going to make it happen for you. You might get punished. You might go the long way around. You might take a couple of wrong turns, but the GPS always gets you back to where you need to be. So you can't disappoint yourself. You can't take away the plan that God's got for your life. But the question is, how long is it going to take you to get there? God isn't to blame for every single disappointment you've had in your life, friends. Often, if we were very honest, let me tell you where disappointment often comes from, if not every time, it's people. People let us down. People say the wrong thing. People hurt us. And that's where disappointment comes from. Now, because they did that, we then turn it toward God and we say, God, you disappointed me. But God says, I didn't hurt you. I didn't leave you. I didn't rip you off. People did. And some of us are very, very busy trying to trust people. But John chapter 2, verse 23, have a look at what Jesus did when it came to people. Is this okay that I give you a whole lot of scriptures? Yeah, watch this. It says, because of the miracle, the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, it says, many began to trust in him. But Jesus didn't trust them. Is that what it says in your Bible? Jesus didn't trust them. Do you know, oh man, we've got to trust people. Jesus didn't. And if Jesus didn't trust people, why would I trust people? What are you saying, Pastor? Shouldn't we ever trust people? No. We can love people. We can believe in people. But I'm not trusting that all of my dreams and hopes are going to be fulfilled by you. That's what that means. Because we're just humans. You shouldn't trust me in that way. Where should our trust be? In the one who can make it happen. Amen? We've got to learn to stop putting all our hopes and dreams in people. Jesus didn't do it. It says, but Jesus didn't trust them. Why? Because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. So friends, in these last few moments, let's talk about how we can pull this arrow out. Because every single person right now, come on, let's be honest, every person, there's something going on. Everyone. So how do we get this thing out very quickly? By the end of this service, we can actually do it. Well, the Bible tells us. I love the way the Bible tells us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, be thankful because for us, the way we read it is be thankful when everything goes well. That's not what the Bible says. It says, be thankful in all circumstances, every single one of them. Friends, as we begin to give thanks for every circumstance, the arrow just becomes a little bit more dislodged, just a little bit more dislodged, because the things that we think are disappointing us, when you start to think of all the things that are going well for you, that arrow just fades into insignificance. Friends, when you're thankful, you'll start to understand, God, you have got a plan for my life. God, I do believe that all things do work together for good of those who are called according to your purpose. Amen? God, I believe it. When we begin to be thankful, disappointment becomes dislodged. You know, when my mum was in hospital, in the women's hospital, there's a bridge that goes from one side of the hospital to another, just a brand new bridge. And on that bridge, they've actually got a huge table with a huge jigsaw puzzle on it. And what happens is people like my wife walk past that and they actually pull up a chair and start putting the pieces of the puzzle. And it's like people do it together, you know what I mean? Like they just, during their lunch break, because they don't have a life, okay? It's the only reason you would do that, okay? And so they're creating this jigsaw puzzle. I remember I walked past and I just picked up a piece of that puzzle. And it was just a little jigsaw, you know, it looks odd, doesn't it? You can't quite figure out the shape. And it was black, completely black, just black. No little bit of flower, purple flower, pinky, nothing. And I'm just looking at this thing thinking, what are you good for? You're just black. Just like you've got some situations going on in your life where you go, what could this be good for? This is terrible. This is black. But you know, in the scheme of things, when I looked at that whole jigsaw, I could actually see where it went. It was actually a part of the river that goes through Prague. When you look at the whole picture, it's like, wow. If I just looked at the jigsaw and just went, this is my life, black. This is it. God says, are you kidding me? There is a whole picture that I'm trying to create for your life. And I'm going to make things work together for good. But you got to understand that there are some moments that are black. But if everything was just rosy, that whole picture would just be flowers. Just one big flower or something, just an array of color. Sometimes you need the black moment so that you can start to see the full picture. Come on, we've got to understand that God is on your side, friends. And there have been some disappointing moments, but you've got to understand you're going to get to heaven one day and you're going to walk in and God says, do you remember that very black moment of your life? You go, oh, I sure do. He goes, this is where it fits. Boom. Whoa. Is that the picture you were creating, God? Yeah. And you know, sometimes God will allow you to go through a moment in your life because he knows you're strong enough so that you can then learn from it. And the next person that goes through it, you can speak into it. Because if you didn't speak into it, they would have lost the plot. But you speaking into it have helped them to see that, yeah, it is a black piece of the jigsaw puzzle. But you can put it in. So I did pinch that piece of puzzle. I didn't take it back. I just said, they're going to finish that whole thing and it's not going to be complete until I go back there and go. And then I just imagine there'll be a roar and a shout. Maybe some police too would come. I'm only joking. I actually didn't do that at all. Hey, I'm just wondering, can we let disappointment have its proper work in us? One, you're only disappointed because you're very passionate about something. Well done. It's great. If you meet someone who's never disappointed, you know what? You've just met a very apathetic person who doesn't care about anything. Are you ever disappointed about some of the things that happen in our nation? I am. Do you know why? Because I love this country. Are you ever disappointed about things that take place in your relationship? Yeah. That means you care about your relationship. If you're never disappointed, if you're never disappointed by your kids, you don't love them. And all the parents went, whew. If you're never disappointed in them, because we're always, as parents, we're always believing for something big, aren't we? And when they don't quite get there, we've got a dream for them. It's a good dream. And when they don't hit that mark, you think, wow, I'm disappointed. No problem. But if you stay there and all of a sudden you're discouraged about your kids, disillusioned, depressed, want to kill them, that's not a good thing. Let disappointment have its work in you. But don't let it go too deep. All right, so you've been stung by disappointment. Okay, today, I love this. Today, as we begin to declare that God is good, you're going to dislodge that arrow. Come on, it's time for you to get into a brand new relationship. Isn't it? How long are we going to go around the block about whatever happened? It's time for you to get back into business. Oh, but I got ripped. Yeah, okay, disappointment, we get it. Dislodge. It's time for you to go study again. Oh, but I did so badly, you don't understand. You're going to be okay. Come on, guys.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.